For a lot of menstruators, the act of bleeding is not as stressful as is the practice of maintaining, let's say, a good menstrual hygiene. In a market full of pricey and non-eco-friendly products, there comes an impressive enterprise by the women, with the women and for the women, that brings up a revolution with a range of sustainable hygienic products. How did this venture come up? How aware are we when it comes to maintaining a good menstrual health? We are going to discuss it all in this Women's Day special episode of Hear Me Out. This is Business of Brands podcast by GCafe. I am your host Shruti, and we are here with a very special guest today, Anika Parashar. Anika is the founder and CEO of The Woman's Company, and she has over 20 years of rich corporate experience to her credit. She is a strong-willed women's healthcare advocate, and she has completely devoted herself to the cause of providing safe and eco-friendly women hygiene products. She is also the brain behind innovative health initiatives like Mama Mia and the Organ Giving and Receiving Awareness Network. Anika, you are an excellent example of women empowering women, and it gives me immense pleasure to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here today.
So tell us your story, Anika. How did The Woman's Company come up? What is the idea behind it, and how did you conceptualize this?
So I had been working in healthcare and retail for the last sort of 20 plus years with various roles. As an entrepreneur and as part of a corporate setup. And it is my passion to build brands for women. It is my passion to problem solve for women and to actually solve for various issues that they may be facing. Over the years, I've worked very intimately with women, be it running hospitals, running women's and child-related retail setups, and also with working with women hands-on in the labor room, with breastfeeding, as a labor consultant, as a fertility therapist. And in all of this interaction with women in the last 20 plus years, in and across the world, not just in India, but across various other parts of the world as well, I've realized that women are just incredible forces of nature. And given the right space and given the right support, anything is really possible. I think one of the things that we've done negatively for ourselves as women, not just Indian women, women across the world, is that we don't focus on our own health, our own mental health, our own physical health. Our priorities are always someone else. Our priorities are our children, our parents, our spouse, our friends, family, brothers, sisters. And working in healthcare, I realized how many women don't even get preventative health checks. They don't get a mammogram. They don't get a pap smear. They don't do their health checkups. When there's something that they're feeling or they're facing, they say, doesn't matter. You know what? I'll figure out. I'll go to the doctor in 3 days or, in a couple of days. Let me just self-medicate for the moment. Let me just, theek ho jayega, that kind of syndrome. And that's why the need over these last so many years has been for me, from within, to be able to provide women with healthcare solutions. The Woman's Company is also in that same vein of interest. So when I stopped working in healthcare and I resigned as the chief operating officer of Fortis La Farm Hospitals, I took a bit of a sabbatical because I'd lost my mother. And in that time, I was thinking about what I was going to do next. And for me, the natural choice was something women's brands, because that's where the passion and the drive, sort of lies. And also definitely something in healthcare, because it's resonated with the way my life path has taken me all this time. My daughter was hitting puberty, and therefore the interest was to be able to maybe provide solutions for that age group. And when I was thinking about periods and the way that, women perceive periods today, it's just in a negative way in terms of, oh God, I've got my period, I'm going to have X number of days per month of pain for X number of years. And what I wanted to do was to be able to view these periods differently so that women wouldn't go into their periods thinking, shit, I'm screwed for the next 35 years, and instead would be thinking, okay, this is something that's natural. It's a natural process of life. And let me make it as comfortable for myself as possible. So it was about empowering women. It was about giving them choices to take their own health under control. A lot of women using plastic products all these years, those are the kind of period products that were available. When I went out there into the market, there were a lot of other companies that were doing biodegradable products for period care, but they weren't made in India. So we are making made in India products. They weren't completely biodegradable, so we've made sure that they're biodegradable. Their packaging was not biodegradable. We've made sure our packaging is biodegradable. So we've taken a lot of care, done a lot of R&D into what products we have, finding ways in which to make these products available to, you know, women at as reasonable a price as possible. And our kind of boutique offering is three types of pads, starting with a teen pad made with, you know, my daughter in mind. It's a slimmer pad, it's softer, it's tailor-made for a young girl, so it doesn't bunch up when she's doing her activities like, you know, football or karate or whatever else she has to do. And it helps you start your period journey positively. Without that plastic, there's no allergies, there's no rashes, there's no chafing, there's less toxins, there's less chemicals, there's no fragrance. So they're better products for the health of a woman, and they're better products for health of a planet, because there's no other planet. This is what we have. So, you know, that's kind of how the Women's Company came up. And over time, obviously, we've added from pads to tampons, menstrual cups, bamboo razors, urination devices. So we do a whole panty liners. We do a whole range of products in this space. And there's a lot more coming as we go on in the next few months.
Anika, that is such a noble cause. And I would really want to know from you that what does a day in your life look like? What does the CEO of the Women's Company do all day? How is her day planned?
Well, a day in my life is extremely, extremely busy and well-timed. Every part of my day is accounted for literally by an hour. So I'm a single mom. I have two teenagers. So I have a 16-year-old son, a 13-year-old daughter. And I have two dogs who are also my children. And I have my brother and my sister-in-law and their baby living, you know, in the same building as us. In that same building, I also have my offices for the Women's Company and also for Organ India, which is an NGO I started because my mother needed a heart transplant about 8-9 years ago. I don't have any parents, so my support system is limited to literally the people who, you know, who have been nannies for my children all these years. And I also have, I'm very lucky to have a large group of girlfriends who chip in every now and then. But really, it's challenging because I'm juggling a lot of balls at the same time. And like a one-man army, you know, or like every woman is Durga ka avatar, you know, where we do several things at one go. So I start off my day at 6 a.m. I wake up like clockwork. I do my meditation. I do a bunch of things that have accounted for better health, like oil pulling. I have a full glass of naryal pani with chia seeds. I have, I do my whole water therapy and all. And I do a 20-minute meditation, post which I have a cup of tea and I hit my workout by 8 o'clock. So 8 to 9, I work out. 9 to 10, I'm sorting out my children who are in their online school at this point. And handling whatever I have to for the house in terms of food and, you know, maintenance, etc. 10 o'clock, I hit the office. I'm in office definitely till 6 o'clock. But we have a US aspect of our business as well. So many a time I find myself coming back to office at about 8:30 in the evening. Between 6 and 8:30 in the evening, I cook dinner for my children. I may take a walk if I have a bit of breathing space and do calls while I'm on the walk so that I can have some fresh air. And I play the piano, which is therapy for me by the end of the night. And I have dinner with my children every night, which is, you know, kind of become a tradition. And post that point, 8:30 onwards, I'm free. So either to come back to work if there's work, or I read, I catch up with friends, watch TV, and then I do another 20-minute meditation before I crash.
Anika, your day is so, so well planned that I am very, very certain that you're giving major health goals and lifestyle goals to all our listeners who would be listening to this podcast right now. Coming to the next question, I would like to know from you that, according to you, how can we educate women about menstrual health and the hazards of using chemical products, especially when it comes to rural areas? I mean, you can talk about the urban areas as well, but also about the rural areas.
I think, so let me answer urban areas first. In urban areas, we have a lot of means now because there's the internet. So you've got all the social media, whether it's Insta or Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or any of the other forums that people use, YouTube, Snapchat, you know, TikTok when it existed over here, but definitely in the States that continues. So it's easy to get information out there. It's easy to be able to teach women the harms of chemicals, toxins, etc. Also, we live in a world where this pandemic has brought a lot of attention to healthcare, you know, and to understanding how important it is to have your health in check, to be able to be a functioning human being in today's world. A lot of the world has moved towards organic eating, organic produce, organic skincare that they, you know, use, or, you know, so it's the same thing for menstrual health products. The reality is that women are wearing plastic for 5 days every month for 35 years. That's got to have some effect. Right. So we use all of these forums to educate women. We do talks, you know, with various corporates, with, you know, there's partners like yourself that help us disseminate this information as well. So it's about providing the products, but it's also about providing the services. So we try and do both to be able to ensure that we're covering, you know, all angles of it. In terms of the rural areas, it's far more challenging. Okay. One of the things which works better or in our benefit today is, again, everybody in rural areas also tend to have some kind of a phone now. So being able to disseminate information as far and wide through, you know, all the various media mechanisms, media tools, through, you know, social media, because pretty much everyone also has a Facebook account nowadays. I think that's one way that one can do it. Also about when you actually do camps in these areas where you can also distribute products as well as have talks, awareness programs, so that women understand why they should be using menstrual hygiene products at all. Because forget plastic. The challenge in those areas is to get them the products. So any kind of products, they're using cloth, which, you know, damp causes various fungal and bacterial infections itself. So they have their own hazards over there, which may not be plastic. So that's a whole different ballgame. And yes, we have to address that. Unfortunately, startups like us will take time to get to that point because it takes a lot of funding and a lot of deeper pockets to be able to get there. But that is definitely an ambition at the Woman's Company.
Adding on to what you've said, my follow-up question is that, do you see India becoming an eco-friendly nation in the future? And what would you suggest we do to make our lifestyle more environmentally conscious?
Well, I definitely hope it will become an eco-friendly nation in the future. I think we're already making moves towards that. The fact that we've now, that, you know, the government has banned single-use plastic, the fact that electric vehicles are becoming more and more popular, there are charging points being built across the country at various points. More and more companies are investing in solar power, in electric technology to be able to eliminate, environmental hazards. Those are all very, very, plus signs. The fact that there is an advent of a strong agricultural market, which is organic. The fact that there are companies like us that are selling now, making and selling products which are sustainable and therefore will, you know, allow the planet a longer lease of life. I definitely think India is moving in the right direction. I think we're making the right moves in terms of corporate, private business sector, as well as the government. And I think consumers are responding. And the more that they respond, the more that we, people like us, will have reason to supply, you know. So I think it's definitely the right direction. What can we do further? It's about, you know, obviously industry moving in this area, but also consumers making those choices. So I understand that organic products or eco-friendly products end up costing a little bit more than normal products. But for those who can afford it, the switch is necessary. because it is investing in the future generations of our families, of ourselves. It's giving them a legacy. It's cleaning up the planet, literally, and it's enhancing survival, you know, of our human species. So it becomes an essential thing to do, if you can afford it. As you go on, as we go on and move on, I'm hoping that, you know, various governments across the world will make these, you know, these sustainable companies, options, products, services more plausible for all income groups. That is yet to be seen, but it will take some time. As individuals, what we can do apart from being consumers is also obviously manage how much we use power, consume, turn off the taps, you know, while you're not using them, turn off the electricity when you're not using them, carpool, use less cars, walk places, bike places, you know, grow more plants, you know, encourage agriculture. So there's a lot of little things that we can do as humans, even in our own homes, you know, avoid single-use plastic, recycle. You know, use jute bags instead of plastic bags. Be mindful of how you segregate and dispose of trash. So there's a lot of things that we can do. The question is, how far are we willing to go for something that is not maybe an immediate benefit, but more of a midterm or long-term benefit? That's yet to be seen.
Anika, this is such a pleasure to just hear you talk. And we are discussing such a subject matter that we can just go on and on with the discussions. And it sort of breaks my heart to, you know, come to this segment, this final segment of the podcast. And we anyway have to come to this. So, Anika, what would be your final words for our listeners?
I think it would probably be to invest in yourself as a woman. Well, men as well, but since we're talking about women here, as women, so invest in your health, take care of yourself before it ends up being a problem, and also invest in the health of the planet, because that is for yourself in your later years, as well as your children and grandchildren.
Thank you so much, Anika, for joining us today in this Hear Me Out campaign. This was such an enriching session, and I'm pretty sure that all the listeners would have enjoyed this podcast as much as I have enjoyed talking to you about all this. So thank you so much once again. And I am Shruti, your host, and we were in conversation with Anika Parashar. Keep listening to the Business of Brands podcast by Cheat Cafe.